Hello. This talk will be about React. I don't know how many of you already played a little bit about React. My talk will be a brief introduction to React. After lunch, Carlos Guedes is going to have a more advanced talk about Flex and Redux and so on. But now here we are just going to have a quick overview about it. So a little bit about me. I work at YLD. It's an OJS consulting. I love Node and I participate a lot in the EpiJS project. I love photography, I love origami. So if you want to talk about photography or origami, well, you are welcome to talk with me also. And you can find me in the social networks with this handle, Sirikaya. So React architecture and GSX. So how many of you already know what is GSX? Okay, not so many than I expected. And what is React? We will start a little bit trying to understand what React is. And basically, we are used to the model view controller pattern, right? Basically, React is the view of the model view controller. And it is defined by Facebook as a JavaScript library for building user interfaces. It's not a framework, it's a library, okay? And also, there's something really important here. In other frameworks like Ember or Angular, we are used to have lots of observables everywhere. Everyone is notifying the scope, oh, it's here is a watcher and so on. But in React, it's a bit different. It's the controller, it's the programmer that has the whole responsibility to understand what he wants to be notified. So lots of people say that React is fast because of the architecture that he has. And talking a little bit about the architecture, basically we have the DOM, the main object model. I think you are probably familiar with this. And the only way to update the DOM in React is through changing the render, triggering the render function that we have in every single component. And to do this, we have properties and we have state. Properties are basically immutable data that you could pass to your component, something that you expect to have when you instantiate your component. And you also have state. State is something that you can change over time inside your component, the data that you can change. And the only way to change this is through an event. An example of an event could be a user clicks on a button and this triggers an action, right? Another important notion in React is the virtual DOM. And I don't want to go deeper in the virtual DOM, but basically the virtual DOM is just an in-memory representation of the DOM. And is not dependent from the browser. So what you will find is that it's much more lightweight than the DOM representation. So instead of go through the DOM, finding lots of IDs, and it costs lots of time, the performance is decreasing a lot. Okay, what React does is using this lightweight memory to do some comparisons, and after it, it just compares and it's much more faster because we are not depending on the browser, it's not EA, it's not Firefox, it's not whatever you use, or it's not mobile. React seems awesome. But how can we install it? I think the easiest way is going through the Node Package Manager. I don't know if you are familiar with the NPM. But basically right now, since latest version 0.14, it's divided into modules, React and React DOM. And this is because they are trying to split some of the things that they want to do. For instance, if you are client-side or server-side, it's quite different, the functions that we will need. If you are using React Native or not using React Native, Native is for mobile implementations, I suppose. You have this background, not sure. It's quite different. So they splitted the modules to have better performance. So GSX. When I first looked at that something like this, I was like, okay, this is horrible. It seems that they are mixing controllers and HTML. Oh my god, okay, what they are doing. but then I realized, yeah, it seems quite fast. What is happening? So GSX is basically JavaScript and XML. And basically, you this division here should be familiar for you. It's just a div in the usual XML syntax. So React uses JSX, but you really don't need to use it if you don't want to. You could use plain JavaScript. So there are these functions, for instance, react.dom.div, that are basically wrappers that Facebook created to create basically an element that could be processed into the virtual DOM. And basically, here I'm just creating a div using plain JavaScript. This is what is going to be transpiled. And the first argument is just attributes. Here I don't have anything. The second one is the content. And you could have a third one, which could be the properties that you want to pass to your component. I said before that you could have properties, and they could go into your component. You will see this in depth and in action. You probably saw in the last example that we are extending React.component. This is the ES6 version of it. You could also use ES5 with the React, but right now, most of the resources that you will find online are using ES6. That's why I do the presentation using ES6. Basically, it just lets you implement the render function. You could also have the properties that I told you before. And this is the way to access the properties with this.props.name in this case, .age, .what do you want. So using plain JS, you could, as I said before, use the third argument of the function. And what is the output of this? Okay, I have here a component that renders a hello world. It will use the container, because in the React DOM.render function, I'm saying, okay, I have a hello world component, and I want you to please put in this on my page, and please replace container with the content that I'm giving to you. And what it does is it basically, inside the div container, will set the information that we are giving to him. So right now, I have a quick demo. Okay, the first one. So here I have my component. It's okay. Cool. So I have my first component. And what we are going to do is I'm going to explain some of the things that we need to have. So for instance, to have something inside the component, I need to have always a wrapper or a parent div or a parent element in my HTML. So here I had the div. The other one was okay because we had just an element. But right now I'm going to add the webcam. Okay, and when I save in the right, you have the output. To add some information to some comments to the GSX, it's quite different that we are used to. So for instance, to add comments, I need to do this. Comment, blah, blah, blah. My beautiful comments, right? Yeah, and I saved it, and it will not appear here, but if I do blah here, it will appear. Yeah, quite simple to use components. So we have this component, we're just importing React, it extends the React component, and we need to wrap it using a div or something like that. Or a div or a span, it depends on what you need to do, if it's a simple component or not. So let's talk a little bit about properties. Properties, as I said, are the immutable data that you have inside your component. So here, I'm giving you, it's my microphone, I don't know. I'm giving you the YLD address, it's my company address. So I'm saying that YLD address is this one, and I have a small component that is an anchor, and I'm just passing this information to the anchor that I've defined. I called this HTML reference, edge ref, but it could be A or B or C, and inside the component I just need to replace this one with A or B on C or C. You are the one that defines this. It's like we a public API that we have here in our component. We just say, okay, this guy will handle this. I don't care, and it will output a link in this case. But you could also pass objects to your components. In this case, I have an object with an edge ref inside, and I'm just passing it to my anchor, and I have it here, and it works perfectly. Or you could pass also functions if you want. In this case, I have a function. You could pass booleans, strings, and so on, and so forth. Another interesting thing in React is that you could also access to the children. So if inside the anchor that I've created in the button, if I add YLD to the children inside the component that I am handling, I could access inside the component to the children that was passed. Does it make sense? Okay, cool. Also, in properties, you have these default properties. And as the name says, it's like when you don't pass anything, it will use the defaults. So if I don't pass a target, it will use the target blank. If I pass target self, it will use the target self. So it's quite useful when you want to have a default. There's also something interesting in React, that is the validation. And basically, the validation lets you define these prop types here. It could be a string, it could be a boolean, it could be a function. If you say that it should be required, for instance, you'll get, and you do not pass anything, you will get this error here. Okay, required property was not specified. Okay, please do it. This is just for the programmer in the console. If it's in production, they will not see this. Yeah. So I don't know if you are familiar with the ES6, but some of the things that we've done before could be a little bit optimized. So instead of passing a lot of information, I could just pass the props object using the spread operation operator, and basically inside my anchor I could say assign to these variables href and target, please assign the props that I'm having inside the anchor that I've defined here. And okay, you will understand, and you could just do href and target because now they are variables in your scope. So to finish the properties, they should never be updated inside your component. They just are being received from the parent components or the thing that you want to do. So I have another demo, my favorite dish. So let's go to the properties here. And let's say that the default property that I have for this is a dish, which is shrimp with pasta, I don't care. The way to log this is just do this.props.dish, yeah? Because I want to access to the output, right? To the default property. But I could also do another thing. Let's create a class called myDish that will extend react.component. And what I want to do, it will implement the render function. All components implement the render function if they extend the React.component. And it will return another thing, let's say, I don't know, hello, some prop, okay? This dot prop dot props dot some prop. I don't know if it's going to like this name, but it could be dish, okay? And what we need to do here is trying to instantiate my dish. And basically, I'm going to set a prop here, which will be the dish. So here now, I could say, hey, please use this.props.dish. And yeah, it will render because it's calling this function here, and I'm instantiating this component. And now I'm just going to show you the validation that I told you before. Let me just clean this. So let's implement props validation here. I have my dish with a prop type. Yeah, that's cool. It's an object. And basically, I want to say that dish will be a react.prop type dot string, and it is required. Required. Yeah, cool. However, yeah, this is cool. But imagine that I do not pass. I don't know if you can see the console here. Imagine that I do not pass the dish inside it. So this way, I have a warning here. You can see it. Yeah, it's not this one. I need to reload, probably. String is required. Prop types here. Yeah, because here is minuscule, lowercase, and here it's uppercase, and I'm always confused with this part. So yeah, in properties, why is not loading right now? Okay, it's not lowercase, right? No. That's correct. Is required. React.prop_types as string. String is required. Seems equal.
My dish was prop types.
My dish. Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So yeah, it's the message that I was telling you. It gives us a warning saying, hey, please set up this variable. So I will just set up to ignore this thing. Okay, let's ignore this for now. And let's go back to the slides, just to not to have the message again when I go to the next example. So the state. We had the properties. The properties is the immutable data, and the state is the one that could be mutated, right? So how can we set up the state? Basically, the state is something that could change. So here my example as a checked, which could be true or false. And basically, I'm saying that I have an input with a checkbox, and it's using the checked value that I just defined in my state. So I have a constructor here. It is ES6, seems like Java, it's super horrible, sorry. But we have a constructor, and inside the constructor, I could just say, hey, this is the initial state that I have. Checked is false, but if we toggle the checked value, it will obviously change to true or false, depending on what you want to do. But how can we handle this state? How can we change it? We should use this function. It's the only way to trigger a new render. If you try to access to this.state and change it, it will not render. It will just render if there is another thing that calls setState, and at this time it will render again, but it's like biased, yeah? So the only way to do it is using setState. And this example here, I have an initial state with a checked, similar to the other one. We'll see the output later. And I have also this set interval that will toggle the variable checked. And every time, every 500 milliseconds, it will toggle it. So it's something like this, yeah? Do you guys understand? Okay, cool. As I said, it's the only thing that could change the view, actually. Okay, another demo. So we have a lamp. Let me just try to minimize this. With the lamp. So imagine that we have a state and we want to create a lamp, and initially it will be on, okay? Let me just try to render this state.lamp. So, okay, it's on. And right now I want to toggle it. So how can I could change it? For instance, I could do it using a button. So on click event, I will try to call a function, this.toggle lamp could be .bind this. I need to set the bind to this. I don't know if you are used to ES6 and JavaScript in general, but I need to pass this to of this component to the function that I am actually trying to do. So I need to use this value to toggle it. So let's do our button. Button. And it will toggle. So let's do the toggle lamp here. And oops.
You really toggled that lamp?
Yeah, I toggled the lamp. okay. So basically, yeah, I reacted. I will try to toggle the lamp, and the only way to do it is using set state, as I said before. So we are going to use set state to toggle it, and we are going to say that okay, lamp now will be off. Yeah, so if I click here, it will be off. Oh, but it doesn't go to on again. Yeah, so we can do an if condition here and do it and so on. I can do it for you, but I think we don't have time. So I will split it. It's just an if. Okay, so props versus states. You could obviously use something that comes through props to change your state. For example, here I just have a sum and I use the properties A and B to do a sum, and I just render it. Quite easy, this one. But I have another example where it handles the communication between the components. So to sum up this part, props are function parameters, and it's like a public API of the component, what he would like to expose. And the state are the variables that are declared inside your scope. And basically, this state could be changed, and the logic of the component could be handled only by changing the state. So to summarize these ideas, getting the initial value from the parent component or update the parent component could be done using props, and inside the component you could only change the state. Composition. Okay, now it comes more cool stuff. So basically, composition is used to have the components talking with each other, because you will define, okay, I have my Facebook friends list, and the list is a component, and how do I want to divide this? The list is a component, the rest, I have a list of friends, so each friend will be another component, I will render this way or this way, and so on. So it will reduce lots of code duplication, one of the advantages. Another one is that you could have layers of abstraction in your views. So it doesn't have to be the same component that does the data fetching and the layouts. So you could do what you want. The programmer is the one that decides it. You could also, for instance, have code that could be shared against some projects. For instance, you have a calendar. And yeah, I really like the calendar in this project, but I also want a calendar in the other one. It's quite similar. I can use the same. There's a lot of resources of components in React. So you could go, there are several websites of components already made that we use every day. And obviously it will encapsulate the logic. It's a component that contains some logic and will handle everything. So here I have another example using phones. And basically I have three phones, Android phone, iOS and Windows phone. And I have a provider, and I'm just rendering this information inside the components. It could be a little bit optimized if I have a list of the types and providers. And basically, inside the render function, this is JavaScript. So what you can do is something like this. You could, inside the render function, do a map or a for each, if you are the old style. But you could do a map if you are using functional programming, and you could iterate over your list and basically create the components that you want to do. If you have 100, we'll obviously not create them everywhere. So this will be turned, GSS will be turned into JavaScript, so you could use JavaScript everywhere as you are used to. So I have another quick demo. This one is really, really, really simple. So the idea is that I want to compose. So I will create a knife here. And basically the idea is that I have a class called knife. Oops. It needs to be uppercase, by the way. Extends react.component. And it will implement a render function. Quite simple, similar to the other ones. And it will return just something that you want. I am a fork or something like that. Malefic example. I am a knife. And we could also have a fork. And I am a fork. And here I could also have fork and so on and so forth. So you could have the components organized in a way that you could use it like you want. So you are the one that decides, is this a component or not? Should I split it into another component or not? Do I have lots of code here? I can't read it. Okay, please split it into different files, into different components. Okay, now I have some composition patterns that I think are really important. They were kind of introduced in 0.14, and basically it's the best practices to create components in React. So the first one is container components, and basically we could have a component that does all the fetching of the data from the server. It will get an endpoint, I got the data, and it could also do the layouts like this one. So I have a comment list here, and ignore the name of this function for now. It will just fetch some data, but basically it will do an AJAX call trying to retrieve comments, and the thing that I'm doing here is just rendering the comments. Okay, but when you have a huge application and you need to split your files through some people in your organization or in your team, like I have a designer. Why does he need to look at AJAX calls? He doesn't even understand it. So, yeah, there are some advantages of this approach, but it really depends on what you need to do, because maybe you have a really simple component and you could just put the all information there. So, disadvantage for huge projects could be that this one will have less reusability. So I will not be able to do it to a designer, and he will look at the other code, he will not understand anything. And also data structure, adding the prop validation, adding lots of stuff that it's not necessary really. So yeah, there is an alternative. And the alternative is to split this into two different controllers. The first one, this comment list container, will initiate the state, will do the fetch of the data. I don't care what data is here, I'm just doing an Ajax call. And it will create a comment list. Yeah, it will render a comment list that will handle somehow the layout. I don't care how the layout is created. Yeah, I'm just passing through properties. Okay, do it. And the other component, the one responsible for the layout, will just pick the layout, yeah, use and render it using the properties, yeah? Here I'm using these.props.comments that I just received from the other component. So it gives us lots of flexibility, and it's the thing. If I have a designer, he doesn't want to know. So it will separate all the concerns, data fetching on one side, rendering on another side. And this way it will be much more reusable. Imagine if I change the endpoint. Everything breaks in the first case, yeah? So there are some advantages of it. Another pattern is the smart versus dumb components. And basically this is the, you could have basically two differences here. The smart ones, imagine that they are the guys that are doing the data fetching, and the dumb ones basically have no dependencies, they just receive through properties all the data that they want to render. They want to do the layout. So a cool example of it could be the user information. They receive all the information through properties that a smart component gave him. So the dumb ones could have their own CSS file. They know everything about layouts, but they don't know nothing about the state. They don't want to manipulate data logic, okay? So the smart ones will be the user page, which could have like some dumb and some smart components. You could pass some information to them and they will handle it as they want. So some of the benefits of this approach will be, again, concerns are separated. Reusability. Dumb components will not have nothing to do with logic. They don't just want to receive as a dump. Give me the data, I will just render it in the best way. And this way we will avoid duplication of code and so on. Events. We have talked a little bit about events. It's like when a user clicks on a button and so on. So I will try to skip a little bit this part. So basically, you have two types of events, events of the DOM and events between components. So the first one is really simple, DOM events. So when a user clicks on a button, it will do something. In this case, I have an anchor. And when the user clicks on the button, I'll just log a message with the event. Yeah, but yeah, you also can see lots of more supported events. I will not show now because we're running out of time. But we could have also information between that is shared between components. And this part is really important in React. Because, okay, because we'll have a way to communicate between the components. So in this example here, what I have is that I have an anchor and I have an hello factory. And basically my anchor is just creating an hello factory. And it's having a property called onHello. That will call a gotHello function that I've just defined just here in my component, right? You can see? Oh yeah, you can see. I defined just here. The gotHello is here. And inside the hello factory, when the user clicks on a button, it will call his onClick event, onClick function, that will call the property that was defined where on the creation of the hello factory here. So what it does is that when the person clicks, it will toggle an event that will do the onClick on this correspondent event, correspondent component, and it will call the property that is defined here. So an alert message is shown. This is obviously a way to communicate between components, and the child could talk to the parent and say, okay, there is the data that you are looking for. I want to submit a form. I want to something. The guy just changed the title, just changed the name. Okay, take care of this. So here I have another demo with the events. And the events are really helpful. So imagine that we have a constructor here, and we have this, I need to call supper, and I have this dot state, and I just, and here I have a color, which is red, and basically I want to toggle the color. So I'm create, I will try, first I will try to render this, this dot state, state.color, and I want to change again. Yeah. It's back? Okay, cool. And I want to change it, so I have an input with a value, and this value will be linked with this.state.color. And when it changes, and change, I want to call a function, this dot change color dot bind this, and I want to call this function. What's the name? Change color. Change color. And basically, I want to do the this dot set state. It's trying to help me, but it's not. this dot set state, and I want to change it to another thing. So I could pass here the value that is being passed, and I could change the color to the event dot target dot value that is being handled there. Seems that we have something missing. Oh, okay. You need to close the tags, right? So, yeah, I have head here. I could change it to green, and so on and so forth. Okay, and it will handle the what you want to do. So, the last thing, but one of the most important. I will try to go super fast, but it's quite difficult because this is one of the most important parts of React, is the life cycle. And basically, in life cycle, you have the mounting stage, when the component is created. You have the unmounting, when it's destroyed. And you have the updates, when it's updated, right? So first, we'll talk about the mount and the unmount. Basically, in the mounting, you have the component will mount. You have always these functions, will something. It's before. It makes sense, right? And did something, it's after. So before the initial render, this function is called. Component is going to be mount. Here you could set the state, set some information that you want to use in your data application logic. After the render function, you have the component did mount. And this one, you saw before in the other slides, is really useful if you want to fetch some data from the server, if you need to do some asynchronous operations. It's really good to start the logic of the components. So what is going to happen here? I have component will mount, component did mount, and I have render. So will mount will be the first one, then we have the handler, and obviously in the end we have the did mount. This is the order. I could show you, but we also have the unmounting. It's just a simple function that is called component will unmount, and is really useful. Is when the component is destroyed, is really useful to clean everything. If you have some asynchronous operation, okay, let's clean this. If you have a timeout, yeah, let's clean this. It's really, really nice for this. So I have a quick demo here also to do this. which is this one. Okay, so here, I will just show you, trying to be a bit faster, but the output of this will be toggling Windows IPL, Windows IPL, Windows IPL, something simple, okay? So I have here a lifecycle component, and I have a constructor, which where I'm typing the type that will be shown. And in the component did mount, I'm creating an interval that will toggle between the list that we have here is not an object, I was trying to remember. And we'll toggle between Windows and Apple and so on. And this is done using a set interval, but I did this in the component did mount, right? But when the component is destroyed, I should not forget, otherwise I will have an error, to clean the interval that I've just created. This is really important for the handle of the several steps. So in this brand, I'm just logging rendering the information that you can see here, Windows Apple. So let's talk a little bit about the updating step. So in this step, you can update stuff. Imagine that you have done some mounting operations, you fetch some data from the server, but now you will receive some properties because the parent updated the properties that your component received. So this component will receive props is when the props changed. The parent, the father of this child, sent some new properties. So I will log this message. Anchor is receiving new props. And the output will be this if we are just receiving props every time. So in the initial render, we don't have the is receiving new props, the component will receive new props function. But after it, every time it receives new properties, it will trigger. It's receiving new properties, is rendering. Is receiving new properties, is rendering. And so on and so forth. So React will keep track, will keep all the steps of every instance that he has. And if you have learned a little more, or if you have read something about Redux, or Flex at least pattern, you will know that this is really important there. Okay, we'll have a talk of Carlos Guedes, I don't know if I said it before, but he's going to talk about this, it's really important. So we have another function. No, it's the last one, sorry. I already said this. It's not invoked in the initial render, and this is when you change the properties. So we have another one, which is really cool, and you could use it to optimize your solution. So shoot component update is when you receive or new props or a new state. And basically, it will say, should this update or not? If it's set to false, everything that you pass will be ignored. It's like something that is static. It's a static page or a static component. It will do nothing. If you change it, it will do something important and will update the state of that you are changing or the properties. So you are the one that decides again. That's why I think React is pretty cool. We also have component will update, which is similar to the component will mount. And it's before the re-render again, but often update action, okay? And basically you can't set the trigger the set state here. It will not do anything because it was already triggered, right? And you also have the did one after the reflex of the view was updated. So a little summary about this. We have the initial render with the component will mount. Then we have the render and the did mount. If we have an update, you have the shoot component update. After it, you have component is going to update. It renders and it updates. It's updated already, okay? If you have properties being changed, you also have a step before this one, which is the other one, component will receive props, right? So I have another quick demo here, which is the lifecycle update. This one is really simple. So I have all the steps and also the logs of the steps. So I have the functions that we talked before. We'll receive props, we'll update, did update, and so on. And I just have some values here, right? So I will try to show the console on the other side. So it's just for us to understand the logic of it. So imagine I have an initial update. It renders, right? It renders. So if I toggle this, it will call should component update or not? Okay, but it doesn't go forward. Why? I told you before, if I set this function to false, it will not do anything. This is pretty good if you want to compare the previous state with the next one, and if you want to optimize lots of things, and okay, this is a deep comparison or not, I don't want to change, I will decide it. If I set this to true, I will set just to show you, you will have changes on this, yeah? You will have component will receive new properties, will update, it renders, and it did the update. If I toggle again, we'll do the same. Should component update, will update, and so on and so forth. Okay, cool. So, to finalize the presentation, I have just some things, some resources where you could find information. There is a forum, a React forum. I hope the internet connection is okay. Okay, so here you have lots of questions with that lots of people do. You could find it online. We also have Reactive Flux. It's a community on Slack. Basically, there is some channels like Need Help, General, News, and so on. It's really cool to understand what's going on. Twitter account, obviously, you could know about conferences also. Reddit, it's quite similar to the forum. If you are interested in React, I really recommend you to subscribe it. There's also a podcast. It's like 1 hour podcast. You can listen it when you are doing your foods to eat or doing some stuff at home. It's not annoying. It's cool. And you will know the news and you don't need to read the whole list. Sometimes it's better than this. I also have a list of components that you could take a look. These are components that were already done for some from people. So React components, I think this one is the most well-known. So if I search by router, for instance, it will show me probably the React router. This one is the most famous one. I don't know why Stars is not working right now. But I saw this yesterday and I was like, why Stars are not working? But you could find several components if you want here, routing, lots of things, what you want. So if you want a list, a special list and so on. Okay. Trying to go back to the slides. And you also have some UI frameworks, like you have for Angular. React also has Material UI. It's not really good now, but I think it will get better over time. And the last thing that I have here is something that I like to show you, which is the Chrome extension. It's really fast. React, okay. So I can inspect everything that I have in my page with the React. So if I go here, I have the component that I've just created. And this one, as I can see here, has a state with this variable false. And if I toggle this, it will update the state and you could debug lots of stuff here. It's really cool if you want to debug stuff. You could see which components are here. You could see what are the children and so on. In this example, I don't have another components, but you could see everything you want. And that's it, I think.